Welcome to the More Perfect Union Podcast, a regular discussion on the state of American politics and current events with entertaining and respectful commentary from across the political spectrum.
Welcome to a More Perfect Union Podcast about the joy we all get from American politics. I'm Jonah, independent from Maryland, and moderating this, the first episode of this fantastic podcast of the people and for the people and all the people. And today, our panel has three other folks, Alan, Greg, and Kevin. Hey, Alan, say something about yourself.
Well, hello, I'm Alan. I am an independent, and I'm a dentist, actually, from Michigan. Pretty excited to be part of the podcast. Thank you, Jonah.
Thank you. Hey, Greg.
Hi, my name's Greg. I'm from Cincinnati, Ohio. I am a liberal Democrat. I've been a teacher, a campaign manager, I've owned small businesses, I've been a casting director, and now I probably have the toughest job. I'm a stay-at-home dad, which is ridiculous. So,
fantastic. Kevin, what are you up to?
Well, my name is Kevin. I live in northern Los Angeles County. Used to be a television writer for many, many years. Now I teach television writing at UCLA, and I am a not-so-liberal Democrat, so hopefully I'll balance out some of those radical ideas of Greg's.
That's fantastic. So we're trying to get a good cross-section on this show, and we'll continue to cross-section ourselves in the future. So I work in health and fitness, personal trainer, teach nutrition at colleges, and do fun stuff like that, like helping people turn their lives around. And moreperfectpodcast.com is up and running. So if anyone wants to check it out anytime soon, we're going to have actual content.
Yeah.
So should we get into the actual debate?
I think we should.
You guys want to talk about that?
There was a debate?
Oh, we had multiple debates.
There we go. I provided the music for y'all.
Yep.
So
let's talk about the debate.
Yeah, I thought before we actually jumped into it, because we all come from a different perspective on this, that maybe we just like talk for a second about like what were the goggles that we watched the debate through. Like personally, I've already said the Tea Party influence in the Republican Party is on my radar. So I watched this debate very specifically because I wanted to see if there was the legacy of these Republicans that were in power when I was in high school, who were, in my personal view, maybe a little more rational, a little calmer than some of the ones that are in power now. So I was very much looking for who's logical and who's calm and who is just, who can I not under any circumstances get behind? So really that was what I was watching.
I know the answer in my mind. Who was the most logical person or candidate that you saw? Because I know who it is, and you know, without it was a gimme for me, but for you,
I think
presented themselves as logical. In other words, presented themselves as level headed.
Made a nice, reasonable argument. You know, so on, so on.
I'd say it's Fiorina or Kasich.
Yeah. Oh. Okay, well, I would agree on Kasich.
Okay.
I'm
talking presentation here, though. I know where you're coming from. You've got you really don't like Fiorina. I've seen that part of it. But my thing is that I think for someone who doesn't know her as well as you do, because, I mean, she ran for Senate in California. She's like, you have a lot more. Your background is you've seen her run for office before. She's kind of new. She's kind of new to us out here in flyover country. So I think she made a compelling showing. Like I said, I'm not looking at her history. I think she came off, and everyone I think agrees. Sure. They're like, wow, she's impressive. She presents herself well, that sort of thing.
She does. She does present herself well.
I agree. She did make a very good presentation. I thought that she was probably one of the top two people in terms of impact coming out of that debate. I guess I was responding to the idea of a logical presentation.
No, that's what I was saying too. I'm like, that's why I said Kasich.
I think because Fiorina is so unknown on the national stage. Like, I mean, and we saw it because she was in the kids table debate for the first time around, and people saw her and they said, oh, I want to see more of her. And so she's now, you know, on the real stage, I guess. I think when it comes to sort of like logic and people that look like they're thinking things through, it's strange because I wouldn't have said this before, and he's not on anybody's radar, but I think Pataki looked like he had dealt with these things and thought about them. And a lot of the others were sort of like theorizing based on what they read in a chat room, I guess.
Wow. That was a name I did. That's out of left field.
I know. And I wouldn't have said that at all.
You guys, I'm sorry. I really didn't watch the JV game. That's like 5 hours of television to watch the JV game. So
it was
5 hours, but it felt like 16.
Yeah, it's gonna say the longest 5 hours. And I did. You guys are way more committed to it than I was. There's no way in hell I was doing that. No chance.
You know, I thought Kasich did some excellent answers and very, very logical. And one of them, when he was talking about the Iran deal, I remember Chuck Todd from Meet the Press even said, that's the exact same answer Obama or Hillary Clinton would have given. That's the exact same answer.
That's funny.
But the only thing is, he's my governor.
I was going to say, Ohioans hate him.
No, that's not true. Teachers hate him.
Yeah, so yeah. Have him.
Teachers hate him.
What do you feel? What do you feel about him as a Democrat and he being a Republican?
As a Democrat, he came in and he said, look, we're what, $2 billion in debt? Done. And he cut across the board. And money that cities and small towns were expecting, too bad. And now he's in trouble with charter schools, and charters are the big donors to the Republican Party. He's built up and he's given more money to charter schools while cutting public schools, which 90% of kids go to public schools, but has given tons of money to charter schools. And there's a big scandal right now in Ohio called Chartergate. Thank you, Gate. where his chief of staff's husband was changing scores on charter school tests so that they seemed to be better. And if you ask me later on, that's going to keep him out of vice president, because we all know Kasich's not going to be president. He's aiming for a vice president shot.
Right.
Do you think he'll win the primary in Ohio? Can he win his own state?
Yeah, he can win his own state. But if this the only thing stopping him is the teachers and this charter thing. And besides that, you know, he says, yeah, just like everyone, did he really bring us out of? No. Did he really make us a prosperous state? No. Did Obama really bring us out of financial ruin by himself? Did he really lower the gas price by himself? No. No, of course not. Does Obama control the gas prices? No. But, you know, Kasich had tons of things helping him. But him as governor, Ohio's turned around. So I can't fault him for saying or taking credit for
that's
it.
That's sort of the problem, though, because there's some the cyclical stuff. They never take credit, or they never take the blame for when it's not doing well, but right. They always take credit for when it doesn't. And I mean, you can't. I don't know. It's an awfully big system to claim that, you know, things are gonna, and when it starts out when they're crappy, they tend to do better over time too. I don't know.
Of course. Right. And this is why I don't like governors who run for president. You know, I know that
really?
the conventional wisdom is they're an executive, they've run a large bureaucracy, blah blah right. blah. But what drives me nuts is every one of them has a miracle in their state. This goes back to Michael Dukakis and the Massachusetts miracle. But, you know, every one of them is touting the miracle in their state until you pull back the covers and look under the weeds a little bit, and every state is drowning in debt and bleeding something. And it's just all – I'll be the second one to curse here. It's just all BS.
But it's a great narrative. They always come in with a great narrative. And you know what? 49 states of the U.S. don't have that much information on it. In other words, like I said, I know that you know, Carly Fiorina ran for Senate in your state a few years back. And so, you throw up in your mouth a little bit. I don't know her. I don't know her at all, right? So it's a perfect example of how on the national stage versus someone running like that. I just think it's super interesting because I know that I was trying to figure out where you were coming from with feeling strongly about her, and it makes sense. She was all over the place in California, what, a couple of years ago. So
it was 2010, and you're right, because of course I'm a Barbara Boxer fan, and mm-hmm. I was very, you know, anti Carly then, but I've known of her and go back earlier, because if you recall, she was a big kind of spokesperson for the McCain campaign in 2007, 2008. In fact, she was an insider for a while, and then she did something and she got into trouble and they kind of pushed her out. But she was hitting all the talk shows, all the Sunday shows, promoting John McCain. And I saw her rap back then, and I never bought into her. And, you know, again, call me a misogynist or something. I don't think this woman has any claim whatsoever on the presidency of the United States. She was a bad CEO. She was fired, as someone's been pointing out in the news recently. I forget who said it. Why do you think no one has ever offered her another job since then? She has no claim whatsoever towards running this massive bureaucracy. What does she know that nobody else knows? What can she do better than John Kasich or Jeb Bush or Marco Rubio? What, she's a manager? She was a horrible manager. So what is her claim to that position?
Speaking of horrible CEOs, you got a great point there. Can you name one Fortune 500 company, or name one even small company, that would hire Trump as a CEO?
No, of course not.
There is none. And no. he makes billions and billions of dollars. And yet, he says he wants to be our CEO and make us billions and so on. and yet, no one would hire him. I mean, if he came into any board, I mean, we'd laugh him out if he wasn't rich. So his only, you know, thing that he's got going for him is that he was born rich and he made more money, which, from what I understand, isn't that difficult.
Well, but there was actually a report that Flatt said came out last week. I think NPR reported on it. I'll see if I can find the link. But said if he'd done nothing with his money at all, he'd be in better shape now than he was with the. I mean, that's sort of a hack job. How do you know? But like, if he'd just invested it in conservative, you know, bonds or stocks and done nothing with it at all, he'd be in better shape than with his own management. So that's interesting. My biggest thing, you know, Trump, I can forgive a lot about Trump, but I can't stand having a president that would tweet at someone that pisses him off. You know, like he gets into it with Rosie O'Donnell, like publicly. And he's running for president, and we're not laughing our asses off about that. There are people that are seriously considering him.
Someone said, I'm sorry. Someone said, it was a Republican pollster said, "F you" is a feels great to say. "F you" is a wonderful thing to get it out and blah, blah, blah. But "F you" is not a foreign policy.
No, definitely not.
And "F you" is not a way to invigorate to change our foreign debt, and "fuck you" is whatnot. I'm going to really make you work on those beeps.
Yeah, but you know what it is, though. You know what it is. It's a great way to fire up the base. That's right. What it is.
Right. So that's my question. The conventional wisdom around Trump is that there's no upside for the Republican Party, right? Because it's completely disrupting potentially credible candidates, and maybe, you know, if you're a Jeb Bush supporter, you're probably mad because now he's sinking in the polls. Not, I don't think due to Donald Trump. I think due because he can't communicate a message consistently. But do you think that there is an upside for Trump? Is this motivating the base? Does that carry over if Ben Carson is the nominee? Like, are they're not going to be that passionately?
There's a tremendous upside. First of all, let's remember that he and he alone is exposing the GOP candidates to 24 million viewers every time they have a debate. Usually these debates get 3 to 6 million viewers tops. That means that, assuming that Trump doesn't get the nomination, Ben Carson or Jeb Bush or Marco Rubio is going to be seen by massively more people than whoever would have seen him or them before, you know, Trump, if Trump hadn't been in the debates. So right there, he's providing, I think, a real benefit to the party. Now, I'm not saying there aren't negatives as well. There are huge negatives. But let's not pretend that they're not getting something out of this.
That's a really good point. I hadn't thought about that. The thing that I think about, though, is that I think there's a fair amount of evidence that a lot of Trump followers are Trump followers. They're not even necessarily Republican. I honestly think that there's a fair amount of evidence that says what you hear most people that even people who don't like him now but started, what they liked about him was that he says what he's thinking. He doesn't say what he thinks he wants us to hear. He says what he's thinking. And there's a huge appeal to that. And I don't even think that necessarily is a party line thing. So I think that there's some people that are energized. They're not typically political people that are energized just because he says ridiculous things because it's what he's thinking.
Absolutely. And let me ask you guys this. I'm sure we all agree that the odds are very low that Donald Trump will even be the nominee, let alone be the next president of the United States. But let's say we could magically wave a wand. I'm actually waving my magic wand right now. Let's say we can wave a magic wand and the presidential election would be the first Tuesday in this October, next month, and it would be between Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton. Is there anyone on this panel who doesn't think Donald Trump would win that election?
Oh, I don't think he'd win.
I don't know.
I think he wouldn't, because I think when it comes time to actually pulling the lever for him, I think I'm not sure the people that are really into him are the ones that are necessarily going to vote.
Okay.
I think Hillary's going to deliver. I think that Democrats, even if they don't like her as the nominee, they're going to stick to the party line. I agree.
I think Republicans, she's going to be the nominee, and I think she's going
to
win.
I think the Republicans are not going to be able to deliver for the party. Even in other words, I think Republicans are going to have a lot harder time getting their base to go and pull the lever holding their nose than the Democrats will. I really think that's going to be a lot tougher for the Republicans to do, because a lot of them are perfectly happy to say, I'm just not going to vote. It didn't turn out. The guy that we got isn't the guy that I wanted. I mean, I can see Trump supporters just falling off the face of the earth, because a lot of them were never political in the first place. They just were listening to him lose his mind on television.
We are not ready for President Camacho.
that's like the best. I swear that's the absolute best analogy, though. I swear. It's so funny.
I'm not convinced that Hillary has it. I mean, there are definitely Republican candidates that infuriate me and drive me crazy. And it would take like Ted Cruz being the nominee to guarantee my vote for Hillary. Like somebody like Rubio or somebody like Bush or Kasich, I don't know. I am one of these people that give her the massive unfavorables. I'm unconvinced. I'm unconvinced at this point.
What is it that you dislike about this person? And we know all of the things that have been said recently, but let's get down like right to it. What do you believe about her that makes you think she would not be a capable president?
I'll tell you what. It started years ago. It started when Bill was the president, and someone asked her back then if she would ever want to be the president. And she said, and I wish I could dig this up somewhere, but she said that she doesn't think the first woman president should be the wife of a former president. And I heard that at the time and said, that's fantastic. That's putting, you know, that's not overreaching. You can go on and do great work. And now I don't have to think about you as a potential president in the future. And every time she sort of dabbled with it and then ran, I got angry, because I always went back to, you told me you didn't think that you should be president. And that was a long time ago, but that's what always comes to mind, is that she was very aware that, and I agree, that the first woman president should not become president because her husband was president.
But why is that? Why shouldn't she?
Because, so first
why shouldn't
of all,
Michelle
so,
Obama be the first?
I was going to Michelle Obama, because I suspect we're going to see her in an 8-year cycle. She'll be there.
So
she'll probably win too.
I think that there's some areas of change where I definitely sort of like lag behind, and this might be one of them. Maybe I also dislike dynasties. So I don't know. I think that it's horrible that it's more Bushes and more Clintons. And I just want new ideas and I want new people. And so there are a lot of things sort of swirling around. So I have no idea what the hell happened with Benghazi. Like, I don't put any, whatever. Like, email servers, okay, that was pretty stupid, whatever. You told me you didn't think you should be president. And now you changed your mind. And that's something that stuck with me.
Well, you know, that's a perfectly valid point of view, right? But it's very individual to you. And again, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with it. Don't get me wrong, Jonah. But I don't even think she remembers that. But no one else remembers that statement. So you've hooked onto one particular moment in time that you felt she was lying to you, or she's since proven to be a liar to you. And you're making an entire judgment on her character and her capability based on that one thing. We know that every person on that stage the other night has changed their mind or flip-flopped on something at some point. Yeah. So it seems to me that you're holding her to a higher standard than we should hold any human being to.
Well, I wouldn't. I would say that the president should be held to a higher standard than other human beings.
Never changed their mind or said something that was politically expedient.
No, I think changing your mind is part of being human. I think that evolving your position is just part of being a thinking person. I think that I filter everything through. She said one thing and now it's something else. I don't necessarily have a better answer other than, and it's not on issues necessarily. Like I don't. It's just there's something there that makes me uncomfortable.
Let me jump in real quick. Most people vote with their guts. Mm-hmm. And most people just will say, and this was something working on a lot of campaigns, would just look at someone and say, you know what? Done. Okay. The taller person in presidential races have always won the election.
She's got a problem with likability.
And it's likability a lot of times.
Yep.
And height, quite frankly.
And height. She's not very tall.
Unless she runs against Fiorina.
Right.
Yeah, she's not charismatic. She's not fast on her feet. She is, honestly, she's not her husband.
She's not her husband.
Bill Clinton's as good as it gets in that way. You know what I'm saying?
He's so good.
You put him in front of a microphone, he's better than Obama. Particularly off script, he's very good. All he has to do, actually, you know, it is funny, likability. And you know what? W was pretty likable, to tell you the truth. Even, I don't know that he did a lot off script, but he was just in straight likability. He was pretty likable. You're seeing a lot of these things. And she does not have that. She comes off, even when she's trying, cold and prickly, man. She does.
But the thing is, I've seen her live. I've kind of dig my picture up with me and her. She can be personable. She doesn't have it 24/7.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the problem.
I don't think Bill Clinton finds it even hard. I think it's easy for him.
I know one or two people who have been in his and he makes everybody in the room seem like they're the most important person. Oh, you're a waiter? You're the most important waiter in the room.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's my horrible Bill.
Does anyone believe that if he could run again that he wouldn't win right now?
Are you kidding?
Again, let's remember we're talking about the most gifted politician since JFK.
Ever. Yeah. Yeah.
So, there's no one on the, you know, of the 20 people that are running, there's no one that's a Bill Clinton. So, again, I think it's unfair to say she's not Bill Clinton. None of them are Bill Clinton.
Let's do a sequitur from there, okay? Because I need something explained to me, and maybe y'all can help me. Because this was at the Reagan Memorial Museum.
Yeah.
And, okay, one, this place doesn't have air conditioning.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. How sweaty was everyone? Yeah.
Obviously, and the only person who brought water was Rubio.
Yeah.
Talking about someone who has no stage presence.
He doesn't. And actually, his likability is good when he's off point, but he tries way too hard. Oh, it's painful to watch.
You know, I think so too, but I watch these people on CNN and MSNBC, and over and over and over again, I hear people say he's the most gifted orator out there today. I don't see that.
I haven't seen it either.
I do see that. What I see is the comparison I read was that he's a lot like Obama, but he's a first-term senator who speaks a lot about hope and the way that things can change without a lot of specifics. And the thing, like, if you could take Obama and make him a Republican, he would be Rubio. But Republicans don't want that. So that's why he is where he is.
It's not that. If you ever, Obama speaks with a cadence, and it's a very natural rhythm, and he speaks very, you know, I'm here, boom, 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 and I'm comfortable. Rubio just feels like, you know, any minute he's going to ask that girl to prom, and he might say no, and, you know, he's just constantly nervous. He might miss his cadence is off.
And he blew it badly on camera once, and he can't get past that water thing. He can't get past that stupid.
And no one cares about that.
I know, exactly. I'm like, dude, I forgot about that till you brought it up again.
But you know, but the point being, and I told someone this, if Rubio had 4 more years, and I think he will, to just work on that, he will be a rock star. But the other thing, everyone kept talking about Reagan, like, oh, you know, if I could only be like Reagan. Reagan was the guy who supported apartheid. Mm-hmm. Reagan was the guy who ignored AIDS. Reagan raised taxes how many times? Was it 8 or 11 or some horrible amount? Reagan was a not great president, but for some reason, I don't get it. What
also,
he invented
the Mujahideen that became Al-Qaeda. He built up Saddam. Then he sold arms to Iran. Everything that they hate now, you know, he started.
And has anyone watched his apology for the Iran-Contra? Well, you know, they say I did it, but in my heart, I don't think I did anything wrong.
All that stuff is fine and good. I'm not schooled enough to defend Reagan on that. What I do know is that he did amnesty before amnesty was a bad word. He did it, and no one talks about that at all. I mean, they are flipping out about potential amnesty, and he did it. He restarted the clock on this whole thing.
Right, and they say that there was a promise made that they were going to close the borders with that amnesty, and it didn't happen. Now I don't remember the bill. I don't know what was in the bill, but that's what the Republicans would say, that it wasn't Reagan's fault, but that the Congress didn't carry through on the other half of it, which was somehow sealing the border. That's the plan. Sure. That's what they say.
What about Reagan's gun laws? I mean, he had the most comprehensive gun restrictive laws in the past.
He passed the Brady bill.
Getting shot will do that to you, man.
Yeah.
which is my whole Republican philosophy of, you know, screw you, I got mine. Because unless it happens to me, it doesn't matter. You know, gay rights doesn't bother me unless I have a gay daughter, you know, Dick Cheney. Oh, and unless I get shot, doesn't matter. So what is this rights fascination with Reagan?
The thing that Reagan did probably better than any president, again, in our lifetimes, is what I think is appealing about Donald Trump to people, which is there's an alpha male thing there. I will keep you safe. You know, I will tell you the truth, no holds barred. I think that I'm not saying that Donald Trump is Ronald Reagan, believe me, but I think some common denominator.
All the things that Clinton is not?
Well, but he did that for the left, and now I think that Trump is – you know, there's a reason why Mitt Romney.
No, Hillary Clinton. All the things that Hillary Clinton. I will tell you the truth. I'll keep you safe. I'm the good guy. The thing, likability, all the things that we've talked about for Reagan being and Bill, Hillary has those issues we've talked about.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And the irony is that she's the one that I think is most likely to keep us safe and most likely to calm down the world. But, you know, capability is not necessarily what wins elections.
Right. Let me ask you guys a general question about the debates. Did you just find the whole format just, okay, one, terrible, but two, like how every question was like, you know, this person said this about you.
Yeah.
Do you feel like your feelings were hurt? Like it was a real high school mentality.
He said, what's funny is Tapper said he was going to try and do that. Yeah, like, I have no idea why he wanted to do that, but he said he was going to do that. Here's the other thing.
Well, the reasoning was because he felt that that would draw them out of their prepared statements, that they would actually interact with each other. He felt that if he said, hey, this guy said this about you, then that candidate who was being asked the question would turn to that person and respond. That's what they were trying to elicit. I don't think it worked.
Did you watch West Wing? Did you guys watch the West Wing when it was
on?
Sure. Every day I wake up.
So there was the episode, the storyline when Bartlett was running for re-election, where he convinced the challenger to have an actual exchange debate. And it was the same kind of thing that what we saw last night, except on TV, it became an exchange of ideas where he handily showed that he was much smarter. And I think that the effect that we got from this debate was that they all looked like they weren't being very dignified. Like, I think it was a completely different effect. You know, like I like the idea of actually having an exchange where they talk to each other. And on one level, I actually really enjoyed that. But I think the net outcome was that none of them seemed presidential.
Right.
Well, that's absolutely right. And I think the bottom line is, and I'm not saying anything that's, you know, going to be mind blowing, but you've got, you know, 10 people on that stage who are trained pretty much for one thing, which is public speaking in a political forum. And then you've got one person who is the lightning rod there, who has a totally different talent, and they all have to play to his talent. And so that's – Jeb Bush is not a rank-out artist, you know? Neither is Marco Rubio. So when these guys have to play somebody else's game, they're off.
I agree, but I think the format, any format where – you're not quite sure where they're going to punch you in the gut, but you know they're going to punch you in the gut and have you respond to someone. And the other thing is they really are they're great at talking about each other when they're on the stump. They're not, you know, they're no better than regular human beings are with face-to-face confrontation.
Right.
You know, what are you going to do, punch him in the face? My thing that was – I was frustrated by the fact that Jake Tapper had Hugh Hewitt, and I have to say I forgot the woman's name, both of them – first off – love him or hate him, Hugh Hewitt's a smart guy. He's a smart guy, and he was interested in getting some good. And they didn't use him at all.
Nope.
Like each one of them asked like two or three questions. It was stupid. I'm like, why even have him? And I did not think Jake Tapper was good at all. I thought he was terrible.
He was terrible.
The other thing is he just let people go on. He let people respond when they bitch. You know, it's like he'd never done it. They weren't even trying to keep any kind of. So it was super chaotic and not super effective. Honestly, and to call these debates is so dumb as to be. This is not even, if anyone's ever like actually been on a debate team, holy cow, it's not even close to the same thing. There's nothing. So calling it, it's just theater. It's bad theater.
I didn't feel like I got a good sense of, so besides building a wall, which we never really got to the nuts and bolts. What's the theme?
I got guys that can do that.
Right. I got guys.
I got the best guys.
I got the best. Right. I never really got a real good sense of plans or he said this and I know he really didn't really mean it. I got a lot of apologies and everyone's friends and we should hate this person. But, and Mike Huckabee said, hey, we're the A-team.
Yeah.
Sad A-team.
Yeah, no, that's I'm just
did you guys have any particular moments that you're like, oh, this is the worst. This is the worst.
Oh,
answer.
The worst?
Yeah, because I have my particular one, I can tell you. My particular one was when Bush said Margaret Thatcher.
I didn't.
Yes.
I heard about this. I didn't stay up late enough.
So yeah, this was towards the end, and they said, who would you put on the $10 bill?
That was you have to reach to miss that one though too.
One, I mean, like, right, Rosa Parks, who by the way was on the board of Planned Parenthood.
Yeah.
Some just for you history buffs, but you know, and
Susan B. Anthony was mentioned, which I thought was funny because I'm like, dude, she's already got her own coin.
She can't wasn't.
Use her twice.
But then he was like, he couldn't think of one American woman, you know, Margaret Thatcher. Oh, my.
You know, I think, again, these guys, first of all the good ones were taken. And then secondly, you know, you could see how his head was working. He was thinking, I'm in the Reagan library. Yeah, I got to make a Reagan analogy. Then he went to Margaret Thatcher because she was his kind of co-partner.
No, that's, you know, that. I guarantee you that was the thought process. That was what you just said is exactly what went through his head. And then after he said it, he probably said, oh, boy, I wish I hadn't said that.
Oh, yeah, he did. That's why he said, but it ain't going to happen, so it's academic. Yeah.
Right, like Margaret Thatcher, if there's anyone who I'm just like more bewildered, like what's their fascination with Reagan? What's their fascination with Margaret Thatcher? But once again, and then he said his, was it his mother? No, someone else said their mother.
There's Carson's mother and Huckabee's wife. Huckabee's and Trump's wife. Daughter.
Yeah, let's put them all on the $10 bill. My favorite was when Chris Christie started to say, well, you know, the Adams family has been overlooked in history. And I'm thinking,
I know,
Morticia
I thought
Adams,
he was
great idea.
I thought that's where he was going at first.
I'd have gone with Wednesday myself.
Wednesday.
I actually agree with him, though. I think Abigail Adams should be on something. She was pretty fantastic.
Or Dolly Madison.
Dolly Madison because of the snack cakes, you know? Pretty much, I'm thinking.
So we should probably wrap up the debate thing. Let me ask you guys, like, as the sort of way to finalize this thought for now, anyway, were any of those candidates people that you think would actually do a really good job if they were president? Was there anyone on that stage that maybe you wouldn't vote for them, but if they were there, you would think this person would be pretty competent. They wouldn't mess up too much, and maybe I wouldn't agree with them, but I think they would do well.
Yes, I will go first. And again, posturing this by saying I wouldn't vote for any of them. There's someone on that stage that I really dislike, but I think he'd be a decent president, and that's Chris Christie.
Really?
Yeah.
Color me
and
shocked.
I don't like the guy. I have major issues with things that he's done in the past. I think he's a bully. But he's the only one that struck me as presidential. Well, him and Lindsey Graham were the only two that struck me as presidential.
Once again, completely shocked. Really?
Those were not the two guys I would pick for sure.
Okay, hey, you know, right on. Not what I would have said.
I was most impressed, and Kevin, you got to cut me some slack. I'm from flyover country, but I was most impressed with Carly, even though in fact-checking, like almost everything she said was wrong. But on the other hand, everyone else did equally as poorly on the fact-checking part. So you can't, it's like, yeah, she said a lot of things that were just patently false, but no more so than anyone else, you know? So it's almost like you can't use that as a measure at this point.
Well, that's fair. But do you see her as a president? I mean, let's say that she could get the nomination, and let's say that she could be Hillary or Bernie Sanders. Do you really think that she's got the, you know, the wherewithal and the experience and the, you know, whatever that combination
I don't
of,
really know because
be
it's
a decent president.
It's early enough in the process that this is the theater, right? And so just understanding the fact that, like, I don't know her baggage very well. I felt like she really presented well, really well. Although I have to say, I think Rubio, as Greg mentioned, I think Rubio has it. I think he's a little unpolished yet, but I think he has. Those are the two that I picked that I thought did pretty well.
You know, Ben Carson was asked a question about how much experience in the political realm actually pays. You know, how important is that? And since, well, he has none. But I wanted Carly to answer that question, you know. And if you ask Trump, he would say, I've always been political. But Ben Carson completely brushed over it. But do you think never having an elected position would, you know, hurt her?
Well, here's my answer. I wouldn't say in the abstract that no one who's, you know, who's never been in public office can be president. But I don't think the three that are running in this particular field have any qualification that supersedes political experience. No. You know, and I didn't believe that, by the way, about Mitt Romney, and he did have some political experience. But this idea that a businessman is going to manage the country better than a politician, I just never bought into that premise.
It's a great narrative, but it's not a deep narrative. In other words, running a company, I just heard, I think I was listening to NPR, I just heard something saying, look, you know, running a company, you actually get to manage people. You know, in other words, if someone isn't doing the right thing, you get rid of them and replace them. The government doesn't really work that way. There's a lot less right. Executive. And in that, so the analogy doesn't carry all that far. I just don't think it carries very far. Mind you, I think people who have a strong charisma and strong, you know, and smart folks who also have good people around them, I think Obama did not, you guys have to admit, Obama does not have, when he got in there, did not have experience.
He was years, right.
Well, he had, yes. Go ahead, because I'm going to say the same thing. It was that Greg or Jonah that was saying that.
Both of us, we talked over each other. It's our thing.
Go ahead.
No, but as an elected official, you guys were saying as an elected official, he had not had elected.
No, he had 12 years. He was a state senator for eight years, and then a U.S.
Okay,
senator.
Fair enough.
That's an elected official.
Sure, fair enough.
And constitutional professor for 14 years before that. And community, he had worked with governments. He had worked with programs. He had worked, you know, it's like the same people who say, you know, why can't you run schools like businesses? Schools are not businesses. You can't, you know, if this product doesn't work, you don't say, okay, recall this batch. Fire everybody, you know, and because I used to get that all the time. We should fire these principals and put in MBAs.
Let's recall the class of 2014.
Right. You guys, we're done with you. It's not the same thing. It's a different skill set. And you're right. I'm not saying that you can't, but this is the highest office around, period. I mean, this is it. This is... You know.
Well, just understand, though, that you've got, I don't know, whatever the number is now, 14, 16. Out of this pile, you're going to come up with someone who runs against Hillary. And you know what? At the time, it's going to be a close race. So there's some. The bottom line is the fact that you guys are puking all over yourselves about how could you possibly. None of them look presidential until they're president.
Right.
I mean, the problem is you have your candidate from this pile. And they're going to be much more polished, and they're going to have a shit ton of money, and frankly, they're going to run against Hillary, and they're going to make it. It's going to be close. It's always close now. Yes. What's a landslide? Yeah. A landslide victory is 3% or something. I mean, it's like,
well, oh, that's winning 5% is a landslide.
Exactly. So I mean, it's like it's always pretty close. You know,
that's a mandate of the people. Now I'm told.
I know. I always like have to double take a mandate.
That's a mandate?
In other words, if 3% of them didn't show up, I don't know. In any case. So, I mean, throwing up about all these people, that's one thing. But they're obviously going to – first off, it's so early.
So early.
I think there's – I don't know. The things that I was underwhelmed by Bush, underwhelmed by Walker. Walker just faded. And Paul, I was underwhelmed by Paul. I mean, he's – considering he's the – the guy who does the filibusters and, you know, they just faded in the background. They were barely there.
I think Paul was strong on the medical marijuana, not medical, the recreational marijuana stuff.
Absolutely. I love the fact they smacked Christie around with that. That was good.
Yeah. And really, like, really driving home the states' rights things. Like, they're saying that they're going to ignore state laws and enforce federal laws over them. And like, that's a good distinction. I think that was probably his strongest moment.
Yeah. But it's just with that many people on stage, you can't, not everyone can show up even if they're, you know, even if they're good candidates, that's the thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Jonah, who did you think you could see?
So I think, I've said that I just want people to be able to work together. I don't expect 100% of my stuff to happen. And I think Pataki, Graham, and Christie are the only ones that have a record of working with people that they disagree with. And
I see that.
I mean,
so we have two votes for Christie, two votes for Graham.
Yeah, and Pataki's not going to win, so he doesn't care. But Graham's not going to win either. But they'll make him Secretary of Defense. I think... I don't know. And Christie's not going to win either. So the people that I want aren't going to win. Doesn't matter.
You just stay home. It doesn't matter.
Yeah. Okay. With that being said, who do you think is going to be the nominee?
You know, I got to tell you, I have no idea. I can't tell because I don't think it's going to be Scott Walker. I don't think it's going to be Marco Rubio.
I'm super cynical. It's totally going to be Bush. It's going to be Bush, and it's going to be Hillary for sure.
Bush is still the odds-on Las Vegas favorite.
He's got money. He's got connections. He's got all the money raisers. It doesn't matter how he does in these things. It doesn't matter.
I don't know. I think he would have been if Trump wasn't there. But this Trump's disruption is really magnifying Bush's problems to the base voters. And so I don't know. I don't think Carson's going to win. And I don't know. Maybe I don't. I have no idea. But I think that people are looking at Bush. It was the problem that Rick Perry had. It was that there's some kind of charm underneath, but he's unable to form a coherent thought. And for his brother, that didn't matter. But I think that people want a coherent thought now. I might be wrong about that, but I think that's his problem. It's like he knows what he wants to say. And then three words into the sentence, it goes somewhere else and doesn't end gracefully. And
he seemed rattled the whole night to me.
Well, yeah.
His line, my brother kept us safe. And then 2 minutes later, he was talking about 9/11. And everyone looked at each other. You could see everyone kind of looking at each other, but no one brought it up. Except on the Twitterverse exploded at that point. You know.
Some in boxing, quite often, when you have two guys who've never faced off against each other, yeah. And the challenger, you know, they're talking about how tough he is and blah 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 blah, and then they get in the ring and the champion just pummels this guy, and you go, what was all that stuff they told me about how great this guy is? That's how I feel about Jeb Bush. You know, why is he considered the class of the Republican Party? He was a two-term governor. So is Rick Perry. So is Chris Christie. So is John Kasich, or he will be. Why do people think that Jeb Bush is somehow head and shoulders above them intellectually as a leader? I don't get it. I think it's all a mirage.
You need to get in contact with your inner cynic, man. This is so totally about money, and he's connected better than the rest of them. I mean, I don't think there's any argument about that. And Trump saying, "Well, I'm self-funded." I mean, he's not a bottomless pit on this deal. He is not. I mean, they make it out like, "Oh, his money's unlimited." I don't believe that for a second. Not compared to Bush. Not compared to Hillary.
But you know, he doesn't have to go into his money because he's getting all the free press in the world. He's
masterful at that. But what I'm saying is, I honestly think we can talk about this all we want, but they're the candidates in that group, and they always Mitt Romney didn't look that good in the early, you know, but everyone knew it was going to be him from the get go, and he ended up that way. What I remember from last time around is Santorum hung in there till the end. I just couldn't believe it. But
right, yeah. Well, he had, you know, that guy Foster Freeze was, you know, keeping him afloat, yeah, no. But he also won 10-11, you know. Primaries.
But you can't be in the primaries unless you have that much money to carry you along, and that is why you need to talk to your inner cynic.
And that's why I think we can't predict it, because was it like 7 or 8 of out of the 11 are either fully funded or they have private millionaire billionaires backing them. So if they lose the first 10 primaries, they have no reason to stop running.
Apparently Cruz can hang in there for a long time. That's the rumor. So
Cruz is deluding himself if he thinks he's going to win. In fact, his Senate seat is going to be up for grabs. I mean, he's so bad crazy. I mean, he's not. He's done.
All right. So, okay.
Let me throw out a question for you guys. Somebody said before, and I think they're probably right, you know, odds are we're looking at the next Republican candidate from someone on that stage. But there's one person that wasn't on that stage. Well, two people because of Jim Gilmore. But what would happen if Bush falters in the first couple of primaries and there's all of a sudden a draft Romney movement and he decides to get back into it? Do you think that Romney could actually come in and maybe steal this thing?
Not at all.
No, I don't think he wants it.
No one likes a loser. No,
that is a it's a huge black eye. You're right. It's a huge black
eye.
Although he beat what's his face in boxing, right? So that was
he beat Holyfield.
Yeah.
Alan, I'm going to take you on this one because he was positioning back in January to come in, and the only reason he didn't come in was because Bush wrangled the money people. I think he does want it. I think he wants it bad, and I think he would be happy to answer a draft Romney movement. That's my guess.
Do you think, though, that who's got, like, just if Bush fails and Walker fails, like, it's such a deep bench, you know? Like, do you think, like, the money people wouldn't find, okay, we are going to get behind Rubio now. We are going to get behind,
yes.
I don't know. The, like,
yes,
do you think they're going to do, but do you think there's, like, I don't know, like, the cranky Democrats are talking about Biden, which, or even
that's,
Al Gore, I've
all.
Seen his
that's
name
all.
Coming up.
That's a joke, by the way. That's all. That.
Yeah, but, like, I sort of see, like, the Romney thing. It's like, well, if we're talking about Al Gore getting back in it, let's talk. Who can we talk about for the Republican? Like, I don't see, I don't know.
The
I don't
Dems
see
don't
him.
Have a deep bench because it's always been Hillary since 2008, right? It's been, which
right.
is fine. But you know what? It is Hillary. I think if you found that she was actually a serial killer for the last 12 years, I think she could still pull it off. I really do. I don't think there's anything that's good. Nothing sticks to her. There's all kinds of horror. Like you guys were saying, the press has been awful to her, and I just don't think it sticks. I think in 4 weeks, 8 weeks, I just don't think there's any question. I think she's going to win it too, by the way. I just feel like you have to get more cynical. This is all theater. This is all theater.
You know,
you have my permission to take 3 months off from listening to any of this stuff, and I'm sure it will be much more simple in 3 months.
You're probably right, Alan. But, you know, I spend way too much time online. I'm in like 30 political debate groups, and I have these ridiculous Facebook debates that go nowhere. But I do see a lot of the Bernie Sanders people that I come across in these groups. And, you know, like I think Greg mentioned before, I admire Bernie Sanders. I think he's he's probably a great guy.
Amen.
He's certainly performing a service. He's got some fantastic ideas.
Beat the gospel.
But I don't think the man is electable in modern America in a national campaign, purely on the socialism thing. And
let me add to that. He's not a Democrat.
Yeah, right.
Right.
And I have.
I don't think Trump's in the same way that Trump's not a Republican.
No. He's been an independent. Who just caucuses with the Democrats.
Right.
He's right. Not
Democratic
like,
Socialist.
But I mean,
but
he's running for, I'll say this. He's running for the Democratic nomination in the same way that Trump is running for the Republican nomination.
Right.
You
but
know?
Right. Trump is a registered Republican.
Mm-hmm.
He's been an independent who caucuses with the Democrats, mm-hmm. and now he wants to be king of the Democrats for this
right.
primary.
I just don't see him facing off with Hillary either, by the way. I don't see them doing debates. I don't see them, or I don't see them in a way where it's head to head. I think.
Something's going to break. I mean, this past week, one of the super PACs that supports Hillary, funneled some dirt about him and his socialist connections and what have you to Huffington Post, and then that became a big scandal. And believe me, the Sanders people, once they start getting hit, and this was the point that I wanted to make, Bernie Sanders. As nice a guy as he probably is, as good a liberal as he probably is not the Messiah. And a guy like him, a very unconventional man with a very unconventional background who identifies as a socialist, he's going to have some major skeletons in his closet. And they're going to be found by the GOP. And this stuff, the Clinton people already know it because they've done their homework and they've done their campaign operations, whatever you call it. And this stuff is going to start to come out if she has to, save her ass in Iowa and New Hampshire. And once that floodgate opens, I think it's going to get just as bad as what we saw the other night. That's my opinion.
I don't think it's going to get bad. The governor of New Hampshire just endorsed Hillary
Clinton.
Today.
Yeah.
I think, like I said, he wants her to move left, and she is.
And she is, and she was already left, and she's moved further.
Yeah,
left.
she doesn't need much of an invitation for that, though. Either, I mean, I think she understands the base just as well as the Republicans understand their base.
Right.
You'd be surprised. Maybe you wouldn't be surprised, but what I'm seeing again in my informal sample of the people that I come across online, they think that she is a moderate to conservative. A lot of them say that she's just a GOPer in a Democrat's clothing. They really believe this. They don't see her as liberal, and I see her as tremendously liberal.
Really?
I think it's her negatives, I think that if you're slightly inclined to not trust her or or anything like that, then you're gonna start looking for, and you know, I'm probably doing that as well. But I think that there is some of that. I think that she's been very slow. I think that if you look back at her record and you see, you know, the whole evolution, just as the first thing that comes to mind, her evolution on gay marriage, right? Where it's like, no, don't ask, don't tell, keep it out, Defense of Marriage Act. Okay, well, maybe you won't have to get fired. Oh, I've always loved gay people, you know, and like, I think there's some of that when we're wearing our cynical hat, you know, and I think that with hardcore liberals,
don't take that hat off. Just live with that hat. That hat has nice break that hat in and just
keep
it out there.
It feels good. I can live in it.
It's fabulous.
But I think that if you're very left, then you can look at politicians that have been around for a couple of decades and say, why weren't you always super left? And you're like, well, in the 90s, it was a different world. So I don't know. I think I see where that distrust comes from. And I see the unfavorables, and I think that they're real. And I think that is what's going to trip her up. It's that people, there are very few people that are neutral on her. They either like her or they hate her. And there are very few people that are sort of like, meh, you know?
Well, I think you have to be kind of realistic with any candidate. No candidate is going to give you 100% what you want. And even, you know, I like Clinton. I like her a lot. And I realize that my views and hers, I'm only probably going to get maybe 60 to 70, maybe 80% of what I want, maybe 60. And even when she's in office, realistically, I'm probably only going to get 20%, because sure. I realize what the president actually can do, maybe 15%.
You know what's really interesting about that too,
and I live with that.
This phenomena is happening because of social media too. We didn't know that much about our candidates back in the day. You know what I'm saying? Like this stuff gets discussed to death right now. I there's no way that you would have known this much about this many candidates, you know, honestly, 10 years ago. I just don't think the information would be out there and so easily accessible. So I think I don't know. Don't you guys think that things are so different now than they used to be? It's hard to even compare running as a candidate now than maybe 10 or 15 years ago because of that.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. I think you're right. I think a lot of it has to do with social media and the fact that the dialogue never stops.
So true. Yes. It's so true.
Yes.
Well, you guys, we've been going for a long time. We should probably wrap up.
Yeah, this has been a pretty long episode.
Absolutely. I still have like one or two, you know, Trump jokes, but yeah.
You got to save him. You got to save him because he's gonna be in the race for, I say, at least 4 more weeks. So yeah,
at least.
If he drops out this week, I will be super pissed.
So this was our first episode, our extended Republican debate coverage, and there's lots more. We're gonna be back next week and every week thereafter until the end of time, or until the end of American politics, or until American politics are no longer hilarious and fun.
Mm-hmm.
But in the meantime, guys, this was great. Alan, Greg, Kevin, thank you for coming on and schooling me, taking me out to the woodshed.
thanks for having us all here.
Yeah.
Thank you.
This was terrific.
And where's the after party, guys?
I thought it was at your place.
Yeah.
The after party is on moreperfectpodcast.com.
There you go. Segue. Very
nice.
Good.
Nice.
Solid.
Okay.
All right. Thank you very much, guys. We'll see you next week. Thank you for listening to the More Perfect Union podcast. Be sure to subscribe to the show on iTunes and check out the website at moreperfectunionpodcast.com. If you have any questions or comments for the More Perfect Union podcast crew, you can email us at moreperfectunionpodcast@gmail.com. We'll talk to you next week.